You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all breaking.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Thank you for joining us on this edition. We're looking ahead to Saturday's racing on the podcast today. My name is Sam Norris, joined in the studio by James Millman to take a look at some of the races at Newbury, where it's a superb day of racing there at Newbury. Also good action over at Warwick as well, with the Kingmaker Novices Chase is the feature race on their card. We've got racing further afield as well from Lingfield and Uttoxeter in the afternoon. Wolverhampton have got an evening meeting. There's also an Irish card over at Nace as well. Hope you can join us for all of the action on Racing Radio on Saturday afternoon. Promises to be a busy day as ever. We're on the air from around about 1 p.m. for all of the day's racing. But it's a warm welcome to James Millman, who joins me in the studio on this edition. How are you, James?
I'm very well, thank you, Sammy.
Good. Keeping busy?
Busy enough. Could be busier. But, still, February's a reasonably quiet month, isn't it?
Mm.
Obviously, we did the Dublin Festival last weekend, which was an excellent initiative. And Newbury this weekend, and we get ready for Cheltenham, really, don't we?
Yeah, really good addition to the calendar, the Dublin Racing Festival, rather, particularly at this time of year, I thought, as well, where we do usually have a lull. It really brought something to last weekend.
Yeah, definitely. And it'll be interesting to see how it works out, because ultimately we didn't get many raiders from the UK, and that's generally because we haven't got many good horses here, to be honest. I don't know, there wasn't that many horses that I felt should have been running there. Possibly Bristol de May could have gone for the Irish Gold Cup, or whatever it was called. It was won by Ed Wolfe, but obviously he went to Cheltenham and disappointed again. And arguably, obviously, Bivadere could have taken on Forheen and Super Sunday. But I think they're the only two horses, really, that I would have expected to go there, or would have liked to have seen there. The rest of the English or the British horses, they're not really good enough to be going there. We've got, I'm talking about later, but Plitterlug and Altior running in the Game Spirit at Newbury. So you'd imagine that they would have gone there. Native River going to Newbury as well. I just don't think there's that many high-class horses that should have gone over. And then the handicaps, British horses have got no hope in the handicaps, because the way the system is, when the Irish horses come over here, their handicap mark gets raised, because the British handicappers think that the Irish horses are a better handicap. Mm. And generally they get proved right, because they have plenty of winners at the festival. Yet our British horses run off the same mark over in Ireland, and the ones we did have in the handicaps, they all struggled with Lady Buttons. Mm. I think was the best one that finished fourth. So there's no real reason for a British horse to go over there for a handicap, because they're probably going to struggle to win. And we haven't got that many classy horses at the moment to really go and take over the Irish. I'm not saying in the novice division that they're so strong strength and depth-wise, Willie Mullins and Gordon Elliott, that it is tricky. So I think that's generally, for me, why we didn't get many runners from our side of the water.
So perhaps there should have been less made of it in the...
For me, it wasn't really an issue.
In the press, etc.
Obviously, Paul Nichols and Nicky Anderson are our main trainers over here, and they've got specific plans mapped up for Cheltenham Festival. But like I say, even if there was a blank sheet, I wouldn't think there was that many that really would have gone over the water. I think generally we are going to struggle against the Irish come Cheltenham.
Mm. And the likes of Deffy DeSoy obviously disappointed a little bit. Simply Ned, again, looked a bit outclassed.
Yeah, and he always has been, really, to be fair. He loves going over to Ireland. He ran a nice race behind Min. Like I say, we've got the Game Spirit, not as much prize money, but it's close to the home for everybody.
Mm.
I think it's just it's something that's interesting to see how it goes. And also, it was hard work in that ground. And with Cheltenham coming up, you have Cheltenham Aintree Punch Stand. If you want to run those three meetings, you perhaps can't do the Dublin Festival as well. So it'll be interesting to see how those horses that ran at that meeting, how they cope with that change, I suppose. But like I say, it worked well. I think with Irish racing so strong at the moment, I think you don't expect to see too many runners from our side of the water.
Yeah, it could potentially mean that some of the races work out a little better as well, because I believe, certainly with the Irish Gold Cup, it's been run earlier this year than it would be usually. I mean, of course, the Irish Gold Cup winner went on to win the Cheltenham Gold Cup last year, so there was clearly no problem with it. But that little bit of extra time in between races
certainly could help. I'll say we're going to see how it works out, and it certainly worked very well. Spectators, horses, ability-wise, it was an excellent weekend of racing.
Definitely so. You've been up on a horse lately, James? When I last saw you, there was talk of riding out.
Back
maybe.
Home next week for a week. So
you riding the two-year-olds?
I'm too heavy for the two-year-olds, right. I hope.
You hope?
Maybe one of the bigger ones. But, the nice, quiet, older horses will hopefully be what I'm riding. But, obviously, the flat yards are starting to gear up now. Yeah. It's not that long until the Lincoln comes around. Entries have already come out for the Lincoln. What's that? End of March. About seven weeks away from the Lincoln. And, looking forward to the flat getting going. Proper racing starts then, you could say. But
depends.
It's not long.
Yeah. You got a runner coming up this evening. Is Langlau
4:45 at Chelmsford. Okay. It's last one of the afternoon meetings.
Oh, there we are. I thought I saw that declared somewhere.
Pentito up in the amateur race at Wolverhampton tomorrow. So very quiet on my dad's runner's front. We've only got four. I think they're actually in training for the winter Langlau. Hopefully she runs okay tonight. It is a drop in grade for her at Chelmsford. Won 3 races in the summer, having moved to us from Godolphin, but just got a little bit higher in the handicap. And Champagne Champ's probably our best horse. He finished 3rd on his hurdle debut at Wincanton the other day, so he's a horse to look out for over hurdles. But I'd say very quiet generally on the runner's front for my dad, but he'd be getting ready for the turf season starting in March, April.
Yeah, I remember having the conversation with you before on the radio, or perhaps on a podcast as well, that the yard tend to have a good year followed by a bad year, such as the way the handicapping system works. Yeah. So given the success last year, have you got a generally pessimistic outlook on this
year? I'm realistic.
You are, to
which,
be fair. Yeah.
Generally leads to pessimistic view. My old man thinks we have the best 2 years we've ever had before.
Okay.
The best 3 years we've ever had before. So he's always very happy and positive outlook, whereas I'm the complete opposite.
Okay. Are you going to name those horses or keep them under wraps? I'll keep them to myself for now.
To be fair, I don't even know what they're called. Because,
fair enough.
The two-year-olds, not all of them have even been named yet. And it's still very, very early days. But he's bought some nice types. I think we had a Intello that cost $90,000, I think, or something.
Okay.
Costs a bit more than what he normally spends. But it's not easy buying flat horses now because they are making so much money. You've got the Middle East investment, a little bit like football, isn't it, really? The prices keep going up, and it's very hard for the smaller level to compete. But I said, a really good year last year. Duke of Bronte's the horse we're really looking forward to. Is he perhaps could be the next Sergeant Cecil? He's had a great year last year, winning 3 times, including the 100 grand handicap at Ascot, placed in a very valuable one at Newmarket. It was worth £150,000, and we really think he could be a really good stayer related to tours. So he's the horse we're looking forward to the most for next season.
Okay, good stuff. Let's take a look at some of the racing then on Saturday coming up at Newbury. We'll take a look at 3 races in total on this podcast, because 2 of them have a very small but very select fields as well. We'll start with the 225. This is the Denman Chase, ran over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. A Grade 2 event which has attracted 3 runners, but a very good trio lining up. Native River is heading the bill, a race that he, of course, took last year, Native River, and is the 5-6 favourite on seasonal reappearance. Cloudy Dream is 9-4. That would be a very apt winner, given that Malcolm Jefferson passed away in the last few days. And Safir Arur also making his seasonal reappearance at 100-30. 3 runners here, James, but a good race with question marks certainly surrounding the front. Surrounding all 3 of them, I suppose, but the big names in the race, Native River and Safir Arur, both making their comeback. Native River after a good 3rd in the Gold Cup last year, and Safir Arur after unseating in the National. Then throw Cloudy Dream into the mix as well, who's usually racing over shorter than this, but did finish 2nd over 3 miles and a furlong in a race that's not working out too badly. It's a good race for all there's only 3 runners.
They're the 3 horses you really want to see, aren't they? After the ones that ran in the Cotswold Chase, there are remaining leading chasers, and we've got no hopers in the race, so you could have had a couple in the race that were just going around to pop around for 4th prize. I mean, that's really not going to help anybody.
£2,665 for 4th.
Is that what it was?
Well, that prize money go now, by the way?
I think it gets redistributed back into the pool.
Right.
between the three that are left. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. Native River, perhaps they felt that he had some hard races last year. There's only four lengths behind him and suffered a rear when he ran the Gold Cup, which isn't a great deal, to be fair. Obviously, suffered a rear, had a bit of a disappointing season. That's by far his best effort when he finished sixth in the Gold Cup. Obviously, last year, what a great season that Native River have, winning the Hennessy, winning the Welsh National, then winning the Denman Chase and finishing third in the Gold Cup. Very interesting that they just missed the start of the season. It seemed to have been the plan all along. They weren't in any rush to get him out.
Yeah, there's not been anything amiss as such.
Doesn't seem to have been. Bearing in mind, I don't think they were that busy. He had four runs last year. He's been very, very lightly raced. Very interesting to see how he gets on, but he might just need that first run back.
Doesn't have a great record fresh.
No, he was beat last year in a Charlie Hall, wasn't he? Suffered a rear, another one that he's been frustrating. He was a horse which Paul Nicholls always thought was much better than really what he's shown. That sixth in the Gold Cup was his best effort over fences so far. Obviously fell in the National and we've not seen him. I imagine he has had a setback because I don't see why he wouldn't have been out earlier on this season. So for that reason, I think Cloudy Dream's overpriced, Sammy, to be honest.
Okay.
It'd be brilliant for the Jefferson family.
Yeah.
Obviously, Malcolm sadly passed away very recently. They're now running in Ruth's name. And Cloudy Dream, he's frustrating. I think he's actually a horse that probably nearly just gives his all. A lot of people will crab him because he doesn't find much of the bridle. But sometimes those horses, actually, they are given their all. And you ask them to go quicker, and there's nothing else left. So some are actually there, arguably more honest than one that's a little bit lazy and he's pushing and kicking all the time. So for me, he's very consistent. He always runs his race. He's fit and well. That experiment over 3 mile one, probably a little bit disappointed he got beat, but then definitely red. Certainly didn't do that any harm to the woman in the Cotswold Chase. He's got fitness on his side. Native River probably go quite a strong pace because obviously he's got plenty of stamina. I think he might just creep into it and could be the one. So I'm going to go Cloudy Dream in that contest, but a fascinating Denman Chase.
Yeah, it really is. Cloudy Dream then in the betting at 9-4 for the tried and tested candidate this season, the 225. On to 3 o'clock, which is the Game Spirit Chase, a grade two over 2 miles. Again, we've got three runners here. And the return of Altior, the favourite, of course, for the Queen Mother at 1-2. Politolog is 7-4. Valdez is the ruffian in this race at 20-1. Altior obviously has had a well-publicised setback. He's back on the track, James. And 12 months ago, you'd have suggested that he'd be beating Politolog doing handstands. That may well be the case again, but Politolog has improved so much this season and has already had three big wins to his name, including the Tingle Creek. So it might not be as easy as this race would have seemed a year ago, given the improvement Politolog's made and the slight setback that Altior's had.
Exactly. And Altior's running to get a run into him to put him a spot on for Cheltenham.
Yeah.
If he could have quite easily gone to Cheltenham straight away. So for me, that's Nicky just saying, not entirely sure where we are at Altior. I think he's in good enough form, but I might just need a run just to put him a spot on to take on Min or Duvan or whoever William Mullins decides to send over for the champion chase. Politolog, he is fit and well. Yes, he's not as classy as Altior, but this will probably be the best time that he's going to have a chance of beating Altior, to be honest. And you'd imagine that the Nicholls team are going to use that stamina to his advantage. He's got plenty of decent form, to be fair, Politolog. They tried him over 2.5 throughout last season. He just perhaps didn't really stay in the trip that well. Dropped back to 2 mile this year. Certainly seen a big improvement winning at Exeter in the Holden Gold Cup. Tingle Creek, not that impressive last time at Kempton and Desert Orchid. That was probably his third quite quick race in succession. And he's had a little bit of a break. Back on track. I think he's got a good chance at the prices to beat Altior tomorrow.
Okay. He is in the betting then at 7-4 with Altior 1-2. And Valdez coming into the race as well, who was behind Western Warhorse when he won the Arkell in 2014.
Just the 1,204 days since you last saw him, Sammy.
Yeah.
You were still at school then, weren't you?
You probably was, yeah. So hopefully he can get round and hats off for connections persevering with this one.
But it would be great for him to come back safe and sound.
Yeah.
Will be their aim and hopefully pick up a nice little bit of prize money for that as well.
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought he'd be troubling Altior and Politolog in what is a fascinating race, and that could serve as an appetizer for those two perhaps meeting again in the Queen Mother Champion Chase. We can really get our teeth stuck into the next race that we're going to preview then, the Betfair Hurdle coming up at 3:35, a grade 3 handicap over 2 miles, the richest handicap hurdle in Europe, no less, where Irish Rowers open up as the 9-1 favourite. Jenkins 10-1, Verdana Blue and Kalashnikov also 12-1, as is Cafe Grace and Layla. Waterlord 12-1, 14-1, and bigger prices the rest. Always a competitive heat, James. Always a fascinating race. The last 11 renewals have gone to horses aged 5 or 6, but it's a 7-year-old who heads the betting in Irish Row.
Fascinating race, this is, Sammy. Last year, only 16 runners, which was very disappointing because, like I said, the richest handicap hurdle in Europe should be getting a full field. It was concerning, but this year we have the full field. 24 runners, and it's an extremely competitive contest. You could probably mention 20 of these, and you might not even get a winner in that kind of race. Yeah. Even those at massive prices. The two biggest ones we've got, Remulac and Zalvados, they actually both won their last race. So it's just one of those races which is very competitive, and actually Remulac won at Cheltenham. So that shows how strong a race it is. A horse that I've always liked is Kalashnikov for Amy Murphy. I've followed this horse ever since it won its bumper very, very impressively at Weatherby on debut. This year, Weatherby in Doncaster, impressive successes at the start of the season, and the ground was just far, far too soft for him at Sandown last night. Just wasn't travelling down the back straight where it was really deep, yet he still battled on to finish second. That was a decent effort. I think he's a really, really decent individual. He wants better ground than even what it's going to be tomorrow, but it has been drying out. I just hope there isn't too much rain overnight. That'll be the concern for Kalashnikov, but he's still my tip of the race because he's just a horse that I've always liked from day one. And Amy Murphy's in really, really good form at the moment. Dangerous Galore, Iris Rowe, got to mention her. She ran an absolute cracker behind Maria's Benefit at Doncaster last time out. That was a really decent effort. Only just does enough when winning its handicaps. Doesn't want to hit the front too soon. So this big field at Newbury should certainly play to her advantage. And she's definitely dangerous for the very small trainer, Pete Axon, who's only actually got two horses in his care, but it's got a very decent one there in Irish Row. Jenkins revitalised by the blinkers in his last two starts, but this is stronger, and that would be my slight concern for Jenkins. So Kalashnikov, ground is a little bit of a worry, but 12-1 is an excellent each-way price. I mean, you've got to go each way. Whatever you're backing in this race, you've got to go each way. It's that kind of race where so many horses to consider. It's certainly the most open renewal we've had for quite a while. But Kalashnikov, that's the one for me.
I think I'd agree with you there. Kalashnikov does look a nice prospect for Amy Murphy, that is for sure, and bidding to bounce back after that slight disappointment in the Tolworth last time out to land the Betfair Hurdle. Thank you very much for that, James. Quick recap then of your three bets then on Newbury's card with the two small field graded races and, of course, the feature of the day.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a couple of little upsets in the feature, Denman and Game Spirit. Cloudy Dream for me in the 225, might just take advantage of race fitness against both Native River and Safa de Ruhr. 3 o'clock, again, similar theme, race fitness could be key. Altior first run back after an absence. He might just need it, so tomorrow could be the day Flitlock beats him. And then in that Betfair Hurdle, Kalashnikov, a horse I've liked from day one, is a selection for Amy Murphy and Jack Quinlan.
Superb stuff. The thoughts of James Millman then ahead of Saturday's racing at Newbury. You can hear it all live from 1 p.m. With us here on Racing Radio. Thank you for that, James, and enjoy the racing on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.